Happy Valentine's Day. We're going to talk a little bit about a guy by the name of Valentino, Valentinus, or Valentine. He was a Roman pastor. I want to... This happened between 268 and 270 A.D. Now, back at this period of time, there were nothing but Baptists. All early Christians were Baptists. Now let's talk about some different things about Valentine's Day. It's an old, it was a pagan holiday before. And sometimes early Christians would take a pagan holiday and make it into some type of a Christian holiday. Now in Wales, wooden spoons, wooden love spoons were carved and given to gifts on February the 14th. Hearts, keys, and keyholes were favorite decorations on the spoons. The decoration meant, "You unlock my heart. You unlock my heart." In the Middle Ages, young men and women drew names from a bowl to see who their Valentines would be. They would wear these names on their sleeves for 1 week. To wear your heart on your sleeve now means it is easy for other people to know how you're feeling. And that's where it came from. Some people used to believe that if a woman saw a robin flying overhead on Valentine's Day, it meant that she would marry a sailor. If she saw a sparrow, she would marry a poor man on Valentine's Day and be very happy. If she saw a goldfinch, she would marry a millionaire or a very rich man. In some countries, on February the 14th, a young woman might receive a gift of clothing from a young man. If she kept the gift, it meant that she would marry him. A love seat is a wide chair. Love seats originally would accompany a woman and her bustles and all of her big dress. Later, the love seat or courting seat had two sections, often in an S shape, where people could sit beside each other but not too close. Now, people would say, think of five or six names for boys or girls that you might marry. Put down five or six names of girls or boys that you might marry. And you say the name of the boys and recite them as you twist off an apple stem. And the name that you're reciting when the apple stem breaks is the name of the guy you're going to marry. Another idea was to pick a dandelion that has gone to seed and take a deep breath and blow the seeds into the wind. Then you count the seeds that remain on the stem, and that's the number of children you're going to have. Pick a sunflower and say, "He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not." Marilyn, did you ever do that?
Yes.
If you cut an apple in half and count how many seeds are invisible or visible inside, you will also know how many children you're going to have. This is all what we call old wives' tales and old practices. Now, in your grocery stores and your five and dime or dollar stores or whatever you're going to call it on Valentine's, just before Valentine's, you will see a baby with a bow and an arrow and maybe wearing a diaper. floating around with the little wings, and he's going to shoot somebody, and they're going to become, they're going to just, it's going to be a talisman for how, you know, it's like a love potion. And so you buy these Valentine's cards and send them to the people that you love. In ancient times, there were feasts. And the feast were held and you would pick out a person, or somebody would pick out a person for you. You know, a father really loves his daughter. And a father wants his daughter to have the best mate that he can find for her. Now, a lot of times in the old days, the father would pick out a husband for his daughter. And she would be betrothed. And in early history, after Valentine died on February the 14th, 268 to 270 AD, they would have these practices. Now, where did it all come from? It came from a real guy, a real man, that was a pastor. He was a Roman pastor in Rome, of course. And there was a an emperor, Claudius. Claudius was having trouble. He had all kinds of wars, conquests that he wanted to do. And people didn't want to volunteer for his armies because basically they didn't want to go out there and fight for his wars, for his conquests. But he began to blame it on young people because if a man was married, he would not want to go off and get killed and worry about what's going to happen to his children and his wife. So he forbid marriages. They could sleep with around, do whatever they wanted to do, but they could not get married. That was a permanent thing, so to speak. Now, we have to realize between 268 and 270 AD, there were no formal marriages with a license at all. But a pastor of the church many times would get up before a congregation or a group of people, witnesses, so to speak, and they would announce that this man and this woman are going to be living in holy matrimony. And he would bless them with a prayer and maybe a little bit of a ceremony of some sort. The Catholic Church didn't begin until 325 AD. Now, and when the Catholic Church began, it was under Constantine the Great. Valentine, or Saint Valentine, or Valentinus, this is 50, 75 years before that time. So there are no Catholics. There's no Catholic Church yet. There aren't any priests yet. There's no purgatory. There's no Eucharist or anything like that at all. That hasn't been invented yet. Baptism was by immersion, etc., etc., etc. These were the early doctrines of the churches. And they were practiced, they said, historians say, that in the early churches, the early Christians were primitive Christians, were of Baptist persuasion. And what I mean Baptist persuasion, it meant that they believed in salvation by grace, that a person had to have a personal relationship with God, that after he was saved, that he ought, as an adult now, they didn't baptize babies at all. Period. Zero. Okay? They baptized believers, people that believed. Later on, the Catholic Church made it a dogma and a law that you had to baptize your children when so many days after they were born, because they wanted them to become a member of the church and a member of the state at the same time, because the church and state were one. This knows nothing of that situation here at all. You have to realize now that Valentino or Valentinus or Valentine did not get a marriage license and sign it. He did not get these people up here in front of him and they go through the rigmarole of marriages that we have today. But he would bless marriages. Now, Claudius the Cruel forbid marriages. Well, this Roman pastor, this Baptist pastor, Valentino or Valentinus or Valentine, continued to do that anyway. This Claudius the Cruel arrested Valentine or Valentine, because he thought his unmarried soldiers would be more willing to join. And besides that, when they went out and conquered, they got to rape and pillage. That was their wages, okay? But if these Christians, if they became Christians, basically they became Christians when they got married. You know, this was all part of it. They were part of churches, and they had what they called a blessing on the marriage. And the blessing on the marriage is that they would be married. And the man wouldn't go chasing around for other women, even though they did have more than one wife. Many of them did back then. That was common. But anyway, Claudius thought that he would solve part of his problem by forbidding marriage. Valentine kept on blessing marriages. He was arrested. He was put in prison. And he was in prison for a while. By the way, his name Valentine comes from our word, valor comes from that word, valor. It means to be brave. It means to be worthy. Now, in this jail, there was a guy by the name of Asterius. Asterius had a blind daughter. And Asterius became a Christian, listening and talking and visiting with Valentine. He read the Bible to them, or recited the Bible to them and God's word. And he brought his daughter, Asterius brought his daughter in to listen to Valentine. Claudius the Second, or Claudius the Cruel, kept on bringing edicts against him, telling him to repent of his Christianity and that he could live, etc., etc. He wouldn't do it. In the meanwhile, He led the girl to the Lord also. Not only her father, now the girl's a Christian. And the girl really loved him. She loved him. You have to realize back then that men and women did not communicate like they do today. Before you were married, there was a lot of distance between a man and a woman, socially, so to speak. But Valentine spoke to this girl. He read the scriptures to her. He taught her. And she fell in love with him. But it was a love that was basically going to be extinguished. finally, because he would not repent of his faith, in the year 268 to 270, somewhere around there on February the 14th, he was to be executed. Asterius asked Valentine, "Do you think, you've been reading to me about Jesus and him healing and everything. Now, do you think that if you prayed to God that he would heal my daughter of her blindness so she could have a normal life, do you think maybe that God might heal her?" He said, "Well, we'll pray and find out." So he prayed for the girl, and she began to see. And that was really wonderful. She could see. She continued to visit him until the night before his execution. And he would not see her on that day. So he wrote her a little note. "Love, your Valentine. Love, your Valentine." He was tortured. He had a triple execution, by the way. He was tortured, he was beaten, he was stoned, and he was beheaded. Now, Asterius' daughter took a flower and planted it by her doorway on the day of Valentine's death. And every year, the flower would bloom on the death of the martyrdom of Valentine. That's the real Valentine. He was a real guy. He was really a pastor of church. There were no priests at this time. They were deacons and they were presbyters and pastors. That's it. That's all there were. Nothing else at this period of time. He was not a Catholic priest. Catholicism hadn't been invented yet. He was probably by a Baptist persuasion. He prayed for this girl. God healed her of her blindness. He led these two people to the saving knowledge of the grace of Jesus Christ before he died. It is said that many of his parishioners would come by. And he was in this jail up there, and they would throw food and letters to him, wishing him well, and that he was in their prayers. Since that period of time, later on the Catholic Church claimed him, as they did Patrick. The Catholic Church did not like Patrick at all. That's St. Patrick. Later on they claimed him. He was a Baptist also. We'll get into that one in another month or so. I hope you've enjoyed The Real Valentine. The story of a minister of God that gave his life for the truth and God's word. Even when he had to stand against the emperor of the Roman Empire. Our Father, we send this message out for your honor, for your glory, that we might remember the man this day, not just the legends, but the man that gave his life for you and gave his life for the truth of God's word and for the people that he lived and loved in his time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.